You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca, Alberta's only regulated online gambling website. Use the promo code, and you get a new one every month, Greger50, and you'll get a free $50 play only at PlayAlberta.ca.
And today?
I'm doing good. You guys basically just described my work environment. I work in the basement, so I've got a little sunlight, and it's cold, so I've got my hoodie. So I exactly know the work environment you guys are in.
Now, are you in Pittsburgh?
No, I'm actually in Columbus, home of the mighty Blue Jackets, okay. Winners of one playoff series in 25 years.
All right.
We're hoping to make it two this year.
Does the basement office get a little chilly in the winter too?
Oh, it's chilly right now. I mean, I've got my jacket on, but like you alluded to, you know, it's hot right now, so it's not bad at all when you come down here. Plus, you get that smack of sunlight when you go upstairs. So it could be definitely worse places to work for sure.
Yeah, I think that's the case for all of us media people. It could always be worse. Talking sports is not so bad. So let's talk about that a little bit here. And the big news today, I would say, down in Indianapolis, is the quarterback situation has been figured out. Anthony Richardson, a fourth overall pick just a couple of years ago, will be QB2. Daniel Jones comes over after being drafted by the New York Giants, spent some time with the Minnesota Vikings, and now he's QB1 with the Colts. How surprised were you to see this announcement earlier today?
Not at all. And I'm not a good prognosticator, but I was about as surprised to see that as I was surprised to see Scottie Scheffler win a golf tournament. I mean, with Shane Steichen, he doesn't have a long leash, especially with this new coach ownership. I know it's still in the Irsay family, but still it's still new ownership, right? And he hasn't proven himself as a head coach. So he needs a quarterback that can definitely increase his odds of winning now. I mean, if this was a different situation with a more proven coach and a stronger roster, you could continue to try to give Anthony Richardson chances to impress and to get better. But he now will have to do that in practices because, yeah, I mean, again, we all know that Daniel Jones is not Joe Montana, Tom Brady, whatever, but he's a guy that has a much higher completion percentage career-wise than Richardson, is athletic, not as athletic as Richardson, but he can absolutely make plays as far as with his feet when the pocket collapses. And he does have playoff experience. He is responsible for the Giants' only playoff win since they won the Super Bowl 14 years ago. So, no, I'm not surprised at all, and I think it was the right decision for the Colts.
So what is next for Anthony Richardson? I mean, he's still just 23 years old. He's a very young athlete and, you know, didn't play that much at Florida, so maybe there's some room to grow. Because we saw the flashes. He looked good, but then there's times where, you know, he checks himself out of a game or he doesn't necessarily take a slide when he should. What do you think, you know, the next couple of years hold for Richardson?
That's a great question. And I think for him, he's got to, if he gets another chance to play this year, which I'm not, again, not going out on a limb, but I think he will absolutely get some regular season time, whether that's Jones having a bad performance and gets benched or Jones getting hurt. You know, it's rare now for quarterbacks or any player in any position to get through a whole season unscathed, especially the longer they keep making these seasons. So he'll get a chance, and he's just got to perform well when he gets the opportunity. And as we all know, like any business, the NFL is a league of connections, right? So if his work ethic is good in Indianapolis, if he continues to show that potential in practice and when he does get any chances to play, that is undoubtedly going to increase his market value. But as far as like getting traded or anything at this point, that seems very far-fetched unless there's a team that just gets decimated quarterback with injuries. We saw it with Trey Lance in Dallas, or from San Francisco to Dallas via trade. So you could see that scenario potentially happening again, but I don't think it'll happen anytime soon.
Yeah, you know, and I'm just thinking, like, it would be cool if he did move on from the Colts, goes to a team where he can sit, learn from a good OC and a good quarterback and what he could become, because he is still so young, so I have hopes for him. But, this is definitely, I think, the right move for the Indianapolis Colts. Now, let's move on to the Cleveland Browns. They announced Joe Flacco, 40 years old, as their starting quarterback. I have this vision, and I could be wrong, so you can tell me if you agree or not, but I just see them losing a lot of football games, and then the bye week hits, and they say, you know what? Let's roll the dice, and let's go with it with Shadur or Dylan Gabriel. How do you think the season plays out for the Browns and their quarterback room?
I'm with you, but I think it could happen a lot sooner than their bye week. And I don't know exactly when their bye week is, but I know they're playing the Steelers in Pittsburgh week 6, and I wouldn't be shocked at all if Shadur Sanders was starting in that game, because there's two reasons for that. A, we don't think they're going to be very good this year. So why wouldn't you give Shador a chance if the season's lost, right? Why would you keep rolling Joe Flacco out there? Number two, we all know that Jimmy Haslam, their owner, was the one that pushed them to trade or to draft Shador Sanders when they just drafted Dylan Gabriel, when they just traded for Kenny Pickett, right? So he wants Shador to play because what does that do? It brings marketability to your team. It brings visibility to an otherwise bad team that nobody's going to want to watch. You have Shador Sanders in your lineup. Now all of a sudden there's jersey sales. There's people buying tickets to go to your games. Your viewership goes up. So, no, I think you're right about them probably not being a very good team. And you're also right that Shador Sanders will play. I happen to think it might be much sooner than their bye week.
Yeah, I think bye week is week 9. So my thought process, that could just be a clean transition. And
sure,
it's going to be tough, I think, for the Browns. I'm hoping for Joe Flacco's sake that he can keep it going. Brian DiArdo joining us here on the Jason Gregor Show. Connor Halley, Wanya Gretz sitting in, taking a look around the NFL. We talked Jags on one of our other shows earlier today and the plan with Travis Hunter. And I was kind of curious about what the usage has been so far in training camp, whether it be, you know, more so in offense or defense. And it was Mark Long from Associated Press. And he had said it's kind of been 50-50. What do you think Travis Hunter's usage looks like this year for the Jags?
I think it'll continue to be that unless there's deficiencies at one position or the other. So, you know, if there's injuries at corner, you might see him more there or vice versa offense. I see him being more of a defensive player just because that's, I think, his just organic position. I think that's just where he's more comfortable. That being said, he has shown a knack for catching the football in the preseason. Now, again, let's be honest. The preseason, there's no scheming. Teams are just bringing out their base defenses. It's more of roster competition. That's what the preseason by and large is for. So I don't read a lot into him making plays on offense in the preseason, but I also don't entirely dismiss it. I think he will continue to be used as a playmaker on offense because worst case, it stretches defenses out. It forces defenses to pay less attention to, hey, Brian Thomas Jr., right, who is undoubtedly the Jaguars' primary weapon on offense. So the question for me is his durability, right? I mean, we haven't had a true two-way player in the NFL in like over 50 years. So, I don't know exactly what year it was. I want to say 1996, but look up Deion Sanders, what he did for Dallas in 96. He was their starting corner and was a Hall of Fame corner, but he played some receiver. I want to say he caught somewhere between 35 and 40 passes and helped take some of the pressure off of Michael Irvin and helped open more up for Emmitt Smith. That's the role I kind of see him having. I don't think he'll ever be a number one or number two receiver, but he could be an awesome number three that comes in occasionally and takes some of the pressure off of the Jaguars' other weapons.
He had 36 receptions on 67 targets for 475 yards. One touchdown.
That's close. All right.
Now, you're pretty good there.
I did the ballpark. I was going to guess 37 if you had to push me to a number. So I'm glad I just went with more of the 35 to 40.
Now, I have to say this as a Chargers fan. No love for Scott Matlock, offensive defensive lineman and fullback.
Yeah, you're right. You got me with that one. That's not a bad one as well. Cordell Stewart did different positions, but
Slash,
did play the same side of the ball. So, but yeah, that's a good comp as well.
We remember Troy Brown with the Patriots getting out of necessity, yes. I think that was, not out of a desire, but I think he filled in okay, I thought, back in the day. So, yeah.
He led the Patriots in interceptions the year they won their third Super Bowl in 04. So you're right on it. You're spot on. And he caught a touchdown pass on special teams that season. So, no, you're right.
Okay.
It was necessity. They needed him because Ty Law had a season-ending injury, if I'm not mistaken.
Like, that's just to me, it's like, I don't know how many teams would try that. Like, you know, let's just grab someone off the practice roster, whereas Bill Belichick says, I think I got a guy who can just flip over and play defense. It's crazy to think about now. So I want to ask you, before we let you go, Brian, and really appreciate your time today, storylines through training camp. Is there anything you're watching out for as we head into week 3, final week?
From a training camp perspective, not necessarily. As I think about all the positions and everything, to me, it's more regular season what I'm looking forward to. But no, I mean, preseason, not really. I think mostly everything's been decided. My main thing is Kenny Pickett, whether or not the Browns will trade him. I think that's the biggest thing. I know he started training camp as their starter and then had the injuries and then, you know, lost his job to Flacco. So I don't know if he'll play in the preseason finale for the Browns or not, because like I said, he's had injuries. Like, we saw Gabriel already play. To me, that's the biggest question. You see rumors the Browns might keep all four quarterbacks on the roster, but that makes no sense at all. So I think one of them is going to be traded. So that's what I'm curious about. But I will say super quick, one thing no one's talking about, it seems like, is that Jalen Ramsey of the Steelers has switched from corner to free safety, but he's still going to guard the opposing team's top receiver. I think the Steelers defense could be a huge success story in the NFL this year that no one currently is talking about. So that's not for the preseason. That's more for when the season starts. But preseason, that Browns quarterback and who they're going to trade to me is still very interesting.
So Jalen, so he's starting at safety, but he's also going to cover the top receivers?
That's correct, and I have no idea how that's going to work because Mike Tomlin literally said this week that Jalen Ramsey still is going to get top assignment. I know when they're in the base defense, he's starting free safety, and when they go to nickel, he's going to move into the slot.
Mm-hmm.
But that obviously doesn't compute with what Mike Tomlin said. So I'm super interested to see how this all plays out. I was at their first week of training camp, and I think Ramsey could play both sides if he was younger. I don't know how good his hands are. He is an unbelievable athlete, and I think that's one of the biggest storylines in the NFL that no one's talking about.
That's interesting. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how he's used, and that makes sense. I mean, some of the guys we've seen in the past make that move from corner to safety. I think he'd be a good fit there, so we'll watch out for it. Well, Brian, thanks so much for doing this today. Really appreciate you joining us on the show.
Anytime. Thanks, guys.
There you go. That is Brian DiArdo, covers the CFL, or the NFL, sorry, for CBS Sports. That was Around the NFL for Legacy Heating and Cooling.